I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Time for our Friday features, a Faith Matters conversation on what it really takes to do good, and the Barbershop Guys on, you know, guy stuff. But first, it's time to talk politics. There was another presidential debate this week. You're shocked, I know. But this one was sponsored by NPR. It was in Iowa, and it featured the Democrats with a focus on Iran, trade, and immigration. Then yesterday, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney tried to address evangelical Christians and others who may have questions about his Mormon faith. He gave a speech in Texas. And President Bush tackled the subprime mortgage crisis as home foreclosures hit a new record, with a plan to freeze interest rates for hundreds of thousands of homeowners whose mortgage payments are expected to rise in the coming months. Now, I'm nice and cozy at NPR Studios here in Washington, D.C., whereas my guests, J. Newton Small of Time Magazine and The Washington Post's Perry Bacon, have slogged through 9 inches of Iowa snow to join me for this week's political chat. Thank you so much for doing that.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get the lay of the land in Iowa. The candidates have only 4 weeks left to make their cases before the Iowa caucuses. Actually, it's probably a little less than that if you consider the Christmas holidays. And the polls are showing Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards just about neck and neck. So, Perry, is there a sense of urgency there now?
Yes, very much so. The candidates are sort of filling their days with more and more time in Iowa. They're bringing in their big supporters. You know, President Clinton has been here on behalf of his wife. Oprah Winfrey's come here this weekend on behalf of Senator Obama. So yes, it's becoming very intense here.
And Jay, Barack Obama's on the cover of your magazine this week. There's a story focusing on a lot of things, like how he found his voice and stepping up his attacks on Clinton and their attacks on each other. And you kind of have a sense of the temperature rising, sort of both publicly and behind the scenes. But, you know, you hear that Iowans don't care for that. So what's the logic of that? So.
Well, they have to be very careful in their attacks. And I think a lot of what Barack Obama and John Edwards have been doing for the last month is trying to draw very sharp distinctions between themselves and Senator Clinton rather than outright attacking her personality, which is what made Senator Clinton's comments over the weekend when she really went on the offensive against Barack Obama sort of surprising, because she really turned the other way and went directly at Barack Obama's character, which is a very bold and risky move about a month before the Iowa caucus in this state where caucusers are very famous for their dislike of negativity.
And it's interesting that, you know, there's always going to be a dispute about what's an attack and what's a legitimate sort of drawing of distinctions. That, as I mentioned, NPR held its Democratic debate there this week. The focus was on Iran and trade, as I said. Hillary Clinton really stood out because of Iran. She's the only candidate to have voted in favor of a Senate resolution calling the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization. Her opponents claim this vote was kind of like a Bush light, giving Bush authorization to go to war. And Barack Obama called it a blank check. Let's hear what Senator Biden had to say about this.
With all due respect with anybody who thinks that pressure brought this about, let's get this straight. In 2003, they stopped their program. You cannot trust this president. He is not trustworthy. He has undermined our security in the region. He has undermined our credibility in the world. He has made it more difficult to get cooperation from the rest of the world. He has caused oil to go up roughly $25 a barrel with a security premium because of his threat of war. It is outrageous, intolerable, and it must stop.
So, Perry, do you think that this issue has legs, and to whose benefit and to whose detriment?
I think over the last – I mean, even before, you know, there was a report this week kind of that came out that showed that the Iranians have not been developing a nuclear weapon program, you know, sort of a military version of a nuclear weapon program that sort of added to the case that, you know, maybe for the Democrats at least, that they should not have voted for this resolution. So, I mean, what we've already seen in Iowa is that there has been a big concern that Senator Clinton voted for this resolution and the other Democrats voted against it or said they opposed it. And so I think that this has already been an issue for Senator Clinton. It's something she's – voters have talked about being concerned about. The voters who are pretty anti-war in the Democratic electorate, and they've been very concerned about this issue.
Jay, but I'm wondering on the Republican side as well. Republican candidates as a group have tied themselves so closely to the president's national security policies. I wonder whether this report about the national intelligence estimate saying that Iran is actually not producing a nuclear weapon, do you think that hurts them as a group?
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt them with Republican voters, because Republican voters on the whole tend to be much more pro-war, much more for the president's plans for the surge and other foreign policy pieces. And it's been pretty successful so far in terms of Giuliani. He's leading in the polls, and his number one platform really is national security. This is a critical time. We've got to make sure our country's safe, and so far that's played fairly well with Republicans.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. And from Des Moines, Iowa, we have Perry Bacon from The Washington Post and J. Newton Small from Time Magazine. So let's talk about the big Mitt Romney speech. As we know, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee moving up in the Iowa polls. It seems to be largely based on his appeal to evangelical Christians. And former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who had been leading and who's vastly outspent Huckabee, has seen his support there erode, and it's believed to be due to questions about his Mormon faith. Now, yesterday he decided to talk about it. Let's hear a short clip.
Almost 50 years ago, another candidate from Massachusetts explained that he was an American running for president, not a Catholic running for president. Like him, I am an American running for president. I do not define my candidacy by my religion. A person should not be elected because of his faith, nor should he be rejected because of his faith.
Jay, direct comparison to John F. Kennedy's famous address. His speech was considered a turning point in the campaign. Do you think this is going to be the same for Mitt Romney?
Actually, I thought the opposite. I thought that, you know, by drawing so much attention to it, Romney really kind of emphasizes a point that doesn't help him so much. Evangelicals are really leery of the idea, and I don't think the speech really, you know, helped ease their minds that Mormon, you know, he didn't really talk about Mormonism that much. He mentioned the word Mormon once in the entire speech versus Kennedy, who mentions dozens of times in his speech 50 years ago. It was a great speech, and the reviews are phenomenal of it, and he did a really good job voicing kind of unity in religious thought in America and trying to overcome hurdles of those. But at the same time, he didn't really speak to the audience, I think, that he was aiming for.
But do you really think he could have, like parsed the theological differences between, you know, Mormonism and other denominations? Do you think that would have been appropriate?
Well, he certainly, I mean, John F. Kennedy really took on Catholicism and said, you know, this is, you know, there's no distinctions between what I believe and what, you know, what others believe, which is absolutely what Romney said. But he didn't really sort of ease the minds of evangelical voters, which is what I was trying to get at earlier. He spent more time trying to sort of talk about secular versus religious, and while all very good stuff and very interesting, his target audience for that speech really was the religious right, and what they wanted to hear is, I believe Jesus is, you know, really with them, and
so he was talking to the people who are least likely to be concerned about that issue in his address.
Exactly.
Interesting. Perry, you watched Romney's speech with some Iowa undecideds, right? And how did they react?
I did. I watched it with some Iowa undecideds who are conservatives and religious, but actually Catholics. So, they had been supporting Senator Sam Brownback before, but he dropped out of the race earlier. The speech didn't register with them particularly well. What their frustration was, they thought he was saying his faith is important, but at the same time, it wouldn't affect his decisions. They thought it was sort of a dissonance between saying my faith is important, it's at the core of me, but it won't affect my decision making. The details of it won't affect my decision making. The speech didn't bring them any closer to him, and that's sort of what I left it with. Like Jay said, I'm not sure if he brought any. There are some voters who, I guess, you know, were concerned about what his staff was saying. There's some voters that are concerned about his sort of electability based on this issue, and they think the speech was an audience for that audience. Maybe the speech helps, and it sort of takes away maybe one concern. But people who are very concerned about Mormonism itself, I'm not sure the speech was sufficient for that.
Okay, well, let's talk about the mortgage issue. President Bush announced a plan to save homeowners facing foreclosure. I am fascinated by this issue. Today's Wall Street Journal editorial page, for example, features pieces from President Bush's Treasury Secretary and the Reverend Jesse Jackson talking about why there needs to be some relief. So, look, talk about strange bedfellows. Perry, the Democrats have tried to get out in front of this issue. They've talked about the same idea of freezing interest rates. Do you think that the Democrats have successfully established that they're in front of this conversation?
I think they probably have been early on to the discussing this issue, and they've, I think, Senator Clinton gave a speech about this earlier in the week. John Edwards has been talking about it for a while. In terms of the campaign, I'm not sure it's become a big issue, if only because all the Democratic candidates have functionally the same position on it. So I don't think it's become a huge issue, but it'll be interesting to watch.
Now, what about on the Republican side, Jay? It's the Wall Street types are going crazy, saying, you know, the government has no business bailing out bad decisions made by consumers and companies. Even though, of course, the White House is saying this is not a bailout, that they're merely kind of arranging they're kind of coordinating the private market and helping them to do something they couldn't do individually. I just wonder if you think this is a risky move, and how are the Republican candidates responding to this so far?
Well, certainly the Republicans so far have really not weighed in on what they on the president's plan. The president's plan, like any good compromise, is, you know, makes people unhappy on all sides. The Democrats say it doesn't go far enough. A lot of Republicans who are more fiscally conservative say this is just a big bailout. Ultimately, the plan is only going to help about 1 million people. And so, you know, that those that the president say that are really at the front lines of it, those that are still up to date on their payments, but, are at risk of foreclosing in the next year. Now, where I think you see a lot of vulnerability for Republicans is actually in Congress. Those Republicans in Congress who voted against the plan, who voted for repeated Democratic bills on the floor of the House and the Senate to fix this issue, really Democrats in both sort of the House and the Senate have taken up this issue as a vulnerability point for Republicans, saying you should have done something earlier, you should have done something to prevent these foreclosures, and they're campaigning on it in vulnerable districts across the country.
So just very briefly, do you think do you think we're going to hear more about this issue in the weeks ahead, or do you think that this kind of takes the steam out of that issue?
I think we will hear more about it. I think what we're seeing is that a lot of polls are showing the economy is becoming an increasing concern to Americans. I think this will be part of that discussion.
Okay.
People are, you know, I think we'll hear more about it.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for using your snowshoes to hike into the studio to chat with us today. Perry Bacon with The Washington Post and Jay Newton Small with Time Magazine. Thank you both so much. Just ahead. Is it with the sea or